Hey guys, my name is Joe and welcome to the Hobby Heroes Podcast. I am here with episode number 36, joined by friend of the show, Chuck. Chuck, how you doing tonight?
That's what's up.
Do what?
I'm doing great. I said, that's what's up.
Me, oh, Lord.
I'm what's up. What?
So
just kidding. Hey, everybody.
We're here to talk about our time at Holy Wars. And so we're going to kind of do a rundown of the tournament as far as our games and scenarios and stuff. And basically just talk about that. So if you're not interested in AOS or you don't want to hear basically a tournament set of battle reports, you can turn this off now if you'd like. But if you do want to hear that, that's what we're here for. And so we're going to get started. It was a 30-player tournament total. 29 people showed. One did not. We had a ringer. Then Chuck dropped on Sunday after round four. He had a scout event he had to go back to, which took the ringer out, bringing it down 28. So for most of the event, 30 people playing. It is a very – Holy Wars was a very narrative event. Every single table – has its own theme terrain, has its own theme scenario, has a boatload of special rules, and you got a 2,000-point army and a 1,000-point sideboard that you got to switch in and out during, or, you know, before your game after you saw who your opponent was. So you can kind of try to tailor or customize your lists. Now, if you go back to episode 35, Chuck and I talk about the lists that we brought. So if you want to hear what we brought, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about here, but not quite as much the planning idea. So we could do that. So, Chuck, do you have your first scenario ready to go?
Well, I do. I was going to talk about my list a little bit because I changed a couple things, but it still stayed about the same as what it did before.
Okay.
So before I was talking about like how I had to convert some of my rock gut trolls, and I wasn't sure if, you know, that would be suitable because I only had six rock gut and six of the old stone trolls. I ended up intermixing them and going with two of those main units and a unit of six fellwater trolls to kind of round out my trog herd. So with that, my round one opponent, which was Greg Kirkland or Kirking, with Daughters of Cain. This happened in the Realm of Metal on the Sorcerer's Haven table, and I faced off against his list, which I didn't think was that significant going into it, but as I look at it now, it looks like it's sort of one of the standard lists one would take in a Daughters of Cain army. It's sort of dual purposes almost every unit, so it's sort of a copy and paste of what the other units are. And I'll just kind of go down this and you'll see the trend. So he took a Slaughter Queen on Cauldron of Blood with the Devoted Disciples command trait, the Artifact of Iron Circlet, and the Prayer of Blessing of Cain, a Bloodrack Medusa, two Hag Queens, two units of 30 Witch Elves, a unit of 10 Sisters of Slaughter, and then two units of 5 Life Takers, a unit of Heart Render, two units of Heart Renders, and a unit of Doomfire Warlocks. So basically what this gave him was the ability to set up two units of 30 elves in the center of the board and flank those with the Life Takers and Heart Renders. Some of these are able to be deployed on outside of turn one, so it kind of gives him a little bit in the aspect of freedom of deployment. So you can kind of wait to see what your opponent does, run forward. But a lot of the prayers that he had and command abilities stacked. So for instance, and I haven't played against Daughters of Cain, so I was kind of, I was new to this. I've heard it on podcasts, but we don't have like a local player that plays this meta, which really it's not a meta. It's just kind of a tier one army, I would say. And the abilities are, you know, additional saves, because one of the, either the Bloodrack Shrine or the Cauldron allows for like a 5-up invulnerable save. So that duplicates that ability. Pluses to hit or rerolls to hit, and pluses to wound or rerolls to wound. So the list has the ability to super enhance one of those units of 30, and typically those are the ones that they're going to try and get into combat with. He will pump that unit up, attack with it first, and try and wipe a unit from the board. With our setup and our terrain that we had, we were on the Sorcerer's Haven table, which if anyone has Googled this or looked on online at any of the photos, it is the mud table that you play on, and it slows down your movement, and the objective is to, at the end, hold the buildings, because there are three objective markers hidden in the buildings. In the central building, you can control the Celestial College or Dreadstone Blight. One of those, I think it's the Dreadstone Blight. And it deals holy wounds, sort of like a magic missile in a straight line, 18 inches away from the tower. So if you can deal the most holy wounds, which cannot be saved by any means, you win the major objective. If you hold the buildings at the end of turn five, when you flip all these buildings over, the person with the most objective or grail tokens would then win the secondary. And seeing as I got almost tabled, or basically tabled by the end of turn three, he had enough flanking units to hold all of the little buildings and towers. And he got to the tower first with multiple heroes before I could even activate the Dreadstone Blight in the middle, which would deal the holy wounds. And this was in... I went first, so I even got to the tower first, but he had back-to-back turns at the top of turn one and the bottom of turn two. What I did try and do, which was my secret objective, was to kill one character in one phase of combat. I think that was one of the secret objectives you could pick. And I popped up my spider right in front of his Medusa, charged it, made a 9-inch charge turn one, and did 4 out of 6 wounds. He made a ton of saves. It was ridiculous. I didn't roll any mortal wounds with the bite attack. The spider, the Skitterstrand or Arachnarok spider, has a 4 bite attacks that if you roll a 6, you would deal D3 mortal wounds, which, you know, are unsavable, essentially, in most cases. But, of course, I rolled, like, 3s and 4s. The spider itself is not too fighty. It's just fighty enough, I think, for the 260 points it costs. Really, the fear factor from it comes from the special deployment, and that's what I wanted to do, was sneak in, get my objective turn one, hold him up for at least a round, which it did work, but he ended up killing the spider on his round of combat, because then he just buffed up a unit of witch elves, and yeah, lots of attacks, lots of wounds from those units. In another combat on my left flank, where my Rogue Idol and a unit of Rock Gut Trolls went towards, because my forces were divided on the left and right sides, because this large building is in the middle, his Witch Elves took out a Rogue Idol in one round. So if that tells you what type of combat output the one unit has, it's pretty significant. The Rogue Idol has like a 4-up save and has 16 wounds.
Yeah, it doesn't take a Witch Blender long to go through stuff like that, though, unfortunately.
No, it does. And, you know, some of these units have 2 and 3 attacks apiece with the Witch Elves because they have the additional hand weapon or...
generally, they start at 3 each.
Again, my first time getting to know this beautiful list.
Not mine. Not mine. So, my round one, I had... Well... If you go back, you can see all our lists. But this one, I had the Tyrant, the Thunder Tusk, the Butcher, 3 of 3 Ogres, 6 Iron Guts. And for the first round, I took 1 Giant and 1 Bone Grinder, lost all my command points that I started with, so I had 2 big guys on the board. Fighting Nighthaunt, they had Lady Oleander, a Guardian Soul and Nightmare, Guardian Soul with Mortality Glass, 40 Chain Rasps, 10 Grimghast, 6 Spirit Hosts, 12 Banshees, and 2 Morngulls. The Morngulls I was pretty worried about because I've never actually fought those before, but I've heard some horror stories. So the table we were on was the Table of Hish, which is pretty neat. It's kind of the, honestly, I think it's kind of the signature table for his tournament because it was, I think, one of the first ones he really made that got really popular on Twitter. And it's a bi-level table. So you got your table top on the bottom. And my dogs are barking like crazy in the background. Sorry. And then you've got 7 floating islands above it, and they're all connected by these bridges, and then there's a bunch of realm gates around that you can use to teleport about. I'm going to murder my dogs. That's what's going to happen here.
Should I get my drill out and start putting my aluminum pins in?
So anyway, during a great abundance of the scenarios for Holy Wars, the primary objective is usually to let the table kill you. Most of the tables have a big piece of terrain on it that does unblockable wounds. It's not mortal wounds. He calls them holy wounds. You can't save against them at all. And that is generally the primary victory condition, and as it was on this table. So there's this big shrine on the top central island. As long as you have dudes within 18 inches of it, you can, you roll two dice, and on six pluses or something, you get to do a bunch of holy wounds, and whoever did the most holy wounds by the end of the game gets the primary objective. The secondary objective, like Chuck said, this is the same for every mission, is the Grail tokens. There's three objective markers set up. Your map is set up automatically, tells you where those objectives are going. So ours went across the center line, and because it doesn't really say how to set these up on the two layers, we put two on the bottom, one up on one of the islands. Now, I ended up with a win in this game. I feel very much because he set up, I think, kind of poorly. So he split his army really big. He went the big chain transport up top, along with the spirit host and one of the Morngals and a character, and then the other half of his army down on the bottom. Whereas I went like my three basic ogres and the tyrant up top and everything else on the bottom. All my big monsters and stuff were on the bottom. And so basically I had all my hitting power concentrated in one place. And by like turn three, I'd smashed almost everything he had on the lower level of the islands. The upper level, the tyrant took care of the spirit. I mean, these islands are big, but there's not a lot of maneuvering room around them. And so what happened is my tyrant missile got into a place where he could only get like two spirit hosts into contact with him. So he really wasn't hurting the tyrant, and the tyrant was just chewing through things. I had the Grail tokens by the end of the game. I had had them for, longer than he had. But the one that he had, like his big unit of chain rasps on up on the island, he never moved, and I just left alone. I was like, that one's yours, that's concession, So I took the other two, killed all his characters. Giants performed really well in this game, as did the Frostlord on Thundertusk, who only had like one wound by the end of all the combats, but ended up surviving. Unfortunately, because of the primary objective being the who deals the most wounds out randomly because of this terrain piece, we ended up tying on that. And so I did end up with the win. I got the secondary objective. I got my tertiary objective. I got the fourth objective, which if you listen to the previous episode, we talked about. So each turn you get to pick a secret mission. I chose Bloodthirsty. This was slay an entire enemy unit in single combat. I did that. And then the fourth point was have the most deployed model units left on the board at the end of the game. I managed that because I pretty much nearly tabled him. So it was a big win to me. A really satisfying way to start the tournament out, considering I didn't really expect to win any games. You want to go ahead and do your second game there, Chief?
So my second game was against Jason Misunas, who took his allegiance of Legion of Blood. So typically Legion of Blood is going to be some type of death faction. With him, he did a Vampire Lord on Zombie Dragon. Command trait, Sanguir Blur for his weapon selection, Vampiric Sword, Shield, and Chalice, which of course heals D6 wounds, which we will talk about later on in the game. His artifact was the Orb of Enchantment. Lore of the Vampires, he took Amethystine Pinions, which is a movement-enhancing spell, two Vampire Lords on Nightmares, and then three units of Blood Knights, 30 Direwolves, and three more units of 5 Direwolves. So, typical setup, I think, and strategy for him is to surround his zombie dragon with the 30 direwolves to prevent alpha strikes or charges into him. And then the sporadic spreading out of his other three units of 5 direwolves, the blood knight behind each one of those, and then the vampire lords in a position to counter charge or buff up the units of blood knights. The table we were on was on the Oak of Ages Past, which is another, I think, characteristic table of Holy Wars. It is the table with a large oak tree in the middle. We were in the Realm of Life. And the point of this, of course, is to take Holy Wounds again, which are unsavable, which like we talked about before. But the tree deals Holy Wounds to, I think it's one Holy Wound to every unit, friend or foe, within 18 inches of it. So you can imagine if you have a low model count army, how severe this would be. And it proved to be pretty significant to Jason. So with our setup, I had my units more or less on the left side of the table and my rogue idol on the right. And his units were spread out. Like I had mentioned, his general was in the middle, unit of 30 wolves surrounding him. And then two units of five direwolves on the right flank and then one unit on the left. The knights, the blood knights, were two units on the right and one on the left as well. Turns one and two, we sort of proceeded forward. I made a move with one of my Fellwater troll units. I hand of gorked it onto his side and charged a unit of dogs. Did poorly on my attack. Actually, I failed that charge. Sorry, he charged me, but it held him up because of the negative one to hit. This sort of threw him through a loop because I think he thought he was going to blow through the trolls with all of the attacks. He does a D3 wounds on the charge. That's kind of how Blood Knights work. They're super hitty, but their staying power is sort of lacking. They got countercharged by a unit of rock gut trolls and ended up taking them out. The center tree then started doing wounds on the rogue idol that I had in the on the right flank. My spider came up on the my right corner, or the opposite corner my main army was deployed on, to try and take a grail token, which this was sort of significant because it held up his unit of blood knights that were on that flank so that they didn't come across the table. I think if I had to deal with one more unit of them, I would have been in trouble. And he proceeded to cast pinions and jump his lord across the table to charge my trog boss. My trog boss had loon skin and a pet gribbly, so he would always get an additional save to roll his regeneration and that. He gets an additional command trait as long as the moon is on the table. And the pet gribbly does D3 mortal wounds to you if you attack first. And so since I had so many units attacking and in combat, he elected to attack with his general first. Well, I did mortal wounds to him, and then he proceeded to only do two wounds to my trog boss. So our generals essentially did the same amount of wounds to each other, and my general did not get to attack because of the, I think, Orb of Enchantment shuts a character down somehow where they can't attack or what have you, or use magic items or whatever in that phase. But it's any ability that it would do. And I apologize, my pet Gribbly ended up doing it on turn two, not turn one. We were in multiple combats, and by the time turn two, at the bottom of two came around, I think his general had like 12 wounds on him because I had rolled really well in our combat phases, and he died. So when his general died, he proceeded to run units away from me on the other side of the tree, and I proceeded to make long charges, taking out another unit of dogs. And I had the Grail tokens. I had achieved my secret mission. So I actually won this game 5-0. I think 2/3 of his army was destroyed by turn two is what I have written down here. The knights on that left flank that did charge my trolls, they whiffed. The dragon whiffed. So it was a big deal when you have a few combats that really have to go your way, and they don't. I don't know how my army proceeded to hold up against all that, but it did. You know, trolls, I think, are generally thought of as like a tier 2 or 3 army, and tough to play because they don't have a lot of staying power. Even though they act like ogres, essentially, it's just not a high model count army. They can't really control too much area at one time.
For sure. I experience a lot of the same problems with mine, so.
Yeah.
21 models at most is what I ever had on the table. And there were plenty of times during the tournament where I'm just like, I wish I had about 5 more models. my round 2, I played on the Tangled Web table. This is the one with the giant spider that hides in the middle and has a giant idol of Gork and Mork. I got to fight one of the witch blenders. They had daughters, two hags on cauldron, two hags on foot, two Karari, 3x20 witches. So the table has a giant idol of orc on one side of it, and then this giant spider pit in the middle, basically. And then the three objective markers are kind of in a triangle pattern towards the middle-ish of the table. Now, one of the cool things, I actually chose this table to play on. We didn't talk about that, but we'll talk about how games were organized at the end here, because we'll just give a general overview of the tournament at that point. So he had two tables that were running Realm of Beasts, and he actually put monsters on them. So one table had two Treemen on it, and then this table had two Hellpit Abominations, which was awesome for me, and horrible for me, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it. I mean, we each got one. So the primary objective was to get near the Idol of Gork. If you had a character near the Idol of Gork, you could roll. Gork would randomly smash wounds out across the table. Yeah, so the Hellpit Abomination managed to basically slaughter a unit of witches. It's great against hordes. Hey, you roll a dice for every model in the unit that's within 3 inches of the guy or whatever. And so, yeah, he basically took out one of the chunks of witches, and then the other two got to me and blended me like hell. I did kill one unit of 20 witches. I had one of them down to probably like 5 models and another one down to like 6 or 7 models, but at that point I got tabled. Like, there was just nothing I could do. He did what witch elves do and blended through me. unimpressive to me. I mean, I knew that was coming when I got him, so it was a disappointing game. That game, I used the two Gargants and one Bone Grinder, which means I lost 3 of my Iron Guts. So I really don't know. I know I had one good round where my Tyrant went in and only got one attack through. Much like you pointed out in your game, I had one awesome turn with the Iron Guts and a unit of Ogres that did like 18 wounds, and then through the multiple saves, he only took like 4 damage. And I was just like, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Made so many 5 pluses, it made me want to puke.
Yeah, we had that conversation where when you've got a damage output of D6 or D6 plus 1, that, you know, there are so many times you are going to roll 1. And the glorious 6 roll that you needed to kill that one character or whatever it is, it's just like, oh, man, suck blank again.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So that was a big fat max win for him, max loss for me. Burr, burr. You got your game 3?
Yeah, game 3. So I played Isaiah Ramchak from, I believe, Wisconsin, and he had a Iron Jaws army, and we played in the Realm of Beasts again, coincidentally on the same Tangled Web table that you played on. And we had 2 Abominations. So with this, his list was 2 Maw Crushers, I believe 2 units of 5 or 10 Brutes with 1 unit, or no, I'm sorry, 1 unit of 3 Brutes, and because those are the ones on the big pigs, right?
I have no idea what anything that book is named. Nobody plays it around here. I don't have a clue. Kevin up there plays it, don't you know?
He plays Night Haunts now since last summer.
For God's sakes.
No. Yeah, everybody's sort of fallen off the bandwagon of Iron Jaws. But anyway, so 1 unit of the pigs, 2 units of 5 or 10 Brutes, and 2 characters that were just there for the buffs or casting spells. The Abominations were interesting, along with the Idol of Mork. I believe I made 1 tactical error in my setup, because what I did, instead of playing the Rogue Idol and Spider, I actually swapped that out for my Endless Spells and my unit of 60 Night Goblins, or Gloomspite Gits. And what I did was, turn 1, I did 6 mortal wounds to 1 Maw Crusher, then my Abomination proceeded to do 4 or 5 wounds to his guy, the other Maw Crusher on the other flank. So I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I'm already up on mortal wounds and stuff on his big characters, and then I move my unit forward. I'm like, all right, I can probably take a charge. Well, what proceeded to happen the next turn was ridiculous. So he did Foot of Gork on my goblin unit and did 22 wounds. He then proceeded to make four charges, I believe. The Maw Crushers each had additional movement that they got, because I think on like a 4-up or a 3-up, they get an additional D6 movement. And he made turn one charges into a few of my units, got around the flank of my big unit of 60 because the Maw Crusher flies, killed a character, and then proceeded the endless stream of combats into other units, because if you destroy a unit with a Iron Jaws unit, you can then proceed to attack with another unit. So I think he had destroyed two units before I even attacked, and he got three of his units to attack before I did. So before my goblins could even attack, he killed another 17 or 22. So I had like less than 20 models left in that unit when I attacked with it. It was ridiculous.
So it goes.
Yeah, so I proceeded to lose. It was a fun game, but kind of a sore loss on my fault, because I think on my part I could have backed up. Because I had him, I could have gotten another turn of shooting or combat in or casting or something, you know, in order to mitigate the amount of characters he had and units coming at me.
Right. So my game three, I took my prime list, actually. So this was the Butcher Tyrant, Thunder Tusk, 3x3 Ogres, 6 Iron Guts, and all 3 Giants, just regular Giants. And we fought another Night Hunt army. He had 2 Soul Guardians, a Knight on Shroud Knight on Spirit Horse, God, what the hell, Nightmare. Gee, Manitli.
The Spirit Horse.
Yeah. Oh, 2 Spirit Tormentors, a Banshee, 20 Chain Rasps, 30 Reapers, and the Chain Guard Battalion. And we fought on the Clan Skyre Warpstone table. And this was a new table this year. This is also kind of a bi-level table. So it's dissected in half, kind of diagonally, by these 3 giant plateaus. But when I say giant, I mean these things are like a foot square big. Like, they take up a huge chunk of table space in the center of the table. And then on top of each one is a bunch of 40K terrain, which have been done up with, like, the, you know, all the Skaven, like, smoky bits and stuff. And then there's a bunch of Warpstone chunks on the table. And then those 3 plateaus are connected by gangplanks, basically. You can walk from the far left to the far right across it if you want. And this is, being a newer table, its scenario doesn't depend on how many wounds it does. In fact, there's no random woundy part here. But at the end of the game, because it's Skaven, all 3 of those giant plateaus explode. And everything within 18 inches of them takes a bunch of holy wounds. And then the person with the most units left, or the most miles left within 6 inches of each of those 3 plateaus, gets to claim it as the objective. And if you have more objectives, you win the game. Now, this is another game that went in my favor. He started with his giant unit of Reapers, 30 Grimghast Reapers in the ground, along with, I think, 3 of the characters were with him. And I went first, walked a couple guys up onto the gangplank, walked around these posts. I was going to, you know, go get them. I'm Operation Grill is basically all I was doing this whole tournament. And his turn one, he teleports the 30 Grimghast Reapers with a couple of characters straight behind me. And when I say behind me, he's like behind my Tyrant, the Thunder Tusk, a Giant, all 6 Iron Guts, and the Butcher. And he charges in like a chief and kills the Butcher. So the Butcher's gone. And then I turn around, and 30 Grimghast Reapers basically just vaporized. I had an amazing round with the Iron Guts. They came in, and I think after saves did like 15 damage on their own. Like, he just, 4+ save didn't matter. He couldn't make a save to save his life. And so this whole unit just vaporized. He's like, well, that didn't go the way I planned. And I'm like, no, clearly it did not. So after that, it was just kind of mop-up duty. Towards the end, he did bring his other unit out from a corner to try and contest the objectives. But so much of my army was still kicking that I came down off these gangplanks, got into that unit before it could get to where it was going, and then just kind of, you know, slowly over a turn or two made it disappear. His Banshees were on the far right side of the board. They tried to contest an objective, but he didn't have enough left at the end of the game after the Holy Wound thing. He did end up with the left objective. He had a unit back there that I just again, you know, when you have the so few miles and units, you really have to pick and choose. So I was like, well, you know, you've got a unit of guys over there. I'm just going to concede that one to you. As long as I get the other two, I'm fine, and you can't stop me. So it was another win to me. It ended up being a max win, actually. So two wins for the Giants. I'm already doing way better than I thought I would.
So game four, day two, after we played a lot of pirate dice on Saturday night, and I won. I just want to say that I'm a winner. We ended up playing Sean Soray from the Chicago area. We played on the Legend of Sotek board, which consisted of a large snake on one side and a floating waterfall teleportation device on the other. The point of this was to run over to the snake, pray to the snake god, or at the shrine, and then you would roll a dice. If you rolled a 1, you did a holy wound to yourself. If you rolled a 2, I'm sorry, if you rolled a 1, it would be D3 holy wounds to yourself. On a 2, it was 1. And on a 3 or higher, you could teleport your unit of your choice anywhere on the battlefield. You would then place it 9 inches away from an enemy model. The floating waterfall was similar. You had to roll a dice. On a 1, the model unit is a holy wound. And then you can teleport to the top of the waterfall. So the idea was to run to these, you know, large shrines, essentially is what they are, or the floating waterfall, and try and teleport as much as you could. Now, you could teleport, as long as there wasn't an enemy unit, back to the same place, which is what I proceeded to do. When I deployed against Sean and he took his Beast of Chaos army, which was a Zangor list, I think 3 units of 6 plus a lot of Ungors, I guess, are the cheap ones. He had maybe 4 units of 10, and I got his list right here. So hold on. Actually, I was right. There's 5 units of Zangors Enlightened on Dis, 4 units of Ungors, a Zangor Shame, and 2 Zangor Shamans is essentially what it is. So again, that's sort of like a tier 1 list. Me, I'm in the tier 2 to 3. I try to play as aggressive as I could. With this table in the Realm of Beasts, you did get an additional treeman to set up and use at your disposal to attack with. And turn 1, I teleported a unit over to the waterfall in order to try and accumulate points. I also took the spider this time as well, and on turn 1 made it deploy in my reserve by the shrine, because I'm thinking I've got to hold these objectives. I have to sacrifice myself every turn. I got to roll a dice, and I got to try and suffer holy wounds, because that's the point. And it worked. I got my I had support units with trolls on each one of those objectives fighting with my large model. So on the snake one where the spider came out, I ended up getting a unit of fellwater trolls over there. In the middle, I had my general, a unit of rock gut trolls, and the treeman holding a piece of terrain, which had a grail token by it. And then on the left flank, I had an idol of Mork along with another unit of rock gut trolls. It was sort of a grind fest down to about turn 3, and that's when I sort of got the upper hand. A lot of my units were hurt down to 1 and 2 models, or my spider had like 7 or 8 wounds on it. I did lose a unit of rock gut trolls on the left flank by the shrine, the waterfall. And I ended up losing everything over there, but I held the spots that I needed, which was the snake and that grail token on that side, and then the grail token in the middle. So I ended up having 2 grail tokens versus his 1, and like a total of 9 points that I accumulated from them. And the holy wounds, we really only suffered 3 during the entire battle. I'm sorry, 1 during the entire battle, because you have to roll a 1 or 2 in order to suffer wounds. So my 1 spider that was over there that took the 1 wound the 1 time in like the first turn or second turn, I believe, because you had to do it during your hero phase. And if you come up during your movement phase, that's after your hero phase. It held me. And he was talking about how he should have been a little bit more aggressive or gotten stuff, you know, over to the shrine. And I even had made the comment, like, at turn 2, I was telling him, I'm like, you really should focus on the shrines, because that's how you're going to get your major. It doesn't matter if you destroy or table my entire flank on the left side, because I pretty much knew those guys were going to die from the amount of attacks and the buffs that the Zang Wars have. It's similar to the Daughters of Cain list. They can get pluses to hit. They can get rerolls if they charge. They fly, so they can pop in and out and go on the other side of you if the charge is far enough. So, you know, I just focused on the scenario and trying to get my units up the field as quick as possible and charge and kill what I needed. Now, the other thing that hurt him because he was using his Ungors as screens is that most of those trolls and giants that I took, like the Trog Boss and the Rogue Idol, all have 2 and 3 inch range. So I was able to pile in on the units in front of me and then reach over and attack his offensive units regardless because they weren't far enough away. I don't know if he realized that until, you know, too far into the game, but it's one of those things where you're thinking, you know, I don't think that trolls have 2 inch range or the Rogue Idol has a 3 inch, but they do.
Surprise, surprise.
So this was a win. I held the objectives. I sacrificed enough, and it kind of came down to that turn 4 and 5 where if it would have been a good roll for him, I would have lost. If it would have been a better roll for me, I would have been having more of a secured victory, you know?
Yeah. So my game 4, I fought Stormcast list, Lord Arcanum on Torlon, Lord Celestin, Lord Ordinator, Lord Relictor, Lord of Zeros, 20 Sequiturs, 2x5 Judicators, and 4 Ballistas, and the Everblaze Comet. So you can guess how this game was going to go from the start. I chose to run my version of the list where I lost the Butcher and all the Iron Guts, but I got to field 2 Bone Grinders and 1 Giant. We fought on the 13 Dominions, which is a Tzeentch table. There's a big Eye of Tzeentch piece in the center of the board that does wounds to anything that gets near it, but at the end of the game, the most models near it are the ones that claim the primary objective. The secondary objectives actually teleport randomly onto the table throughout the game, starting in turn 2, so that's kind of interesting. There's also a big pit on one side where when you walk into the pit, it does some holy wounds to you, but it also lets you teleport wherever the hell you want on the board. So, yeah, the ballistas started in the sky along with like a huge chunk of his army. The 20 sequiturs, they were on the ground near a corner. Actually, they were like straight across from the primary chunk of my army, but I sent everything into that black portal and teleported it to the other side of the board. Unsurprisingly, the 4 ballistas came down on his turn. I went first. They came down his turn 1. He did not immediately kill all the giants, but he took them all down to like 5 wounds each, which essentially nullified any of their use. By the end of turn 3, they were all dead. By the end of turn 5, I had like an ogre left on the table. So this was another max loss for me, max win for my opponent. There's just not, I mean, those things, by the by, are ignorant. 100 points.
Yeah.
Is way too cheap for what those things do.
Well, the point to them is that they get very good when they're within 18 inches.
Yeah. They were very good.
Yeah.
Hey, I roll 4 hits, and then of the 4 hits, I hit 3 times. That's 3d6 wound rolls. It's like, Jesus, and there's 4 of them. That was a grand game. I mean, the guy was totally cool. This table actually had a number of, like, they're not forests. These are called, like, the Sands of Tzeentch or something. And when you're in those, you're -1 to get shot. So, like, my ogres huddled and hidden those things for most of the game, trying to just survive. Especially because one of the Grail tokens did actually teleport. Like, it came in on the sand thing that I was hiding in. So I did get some points there. It's just he had 2 of the 3 objective tokens to my 1. So he ended up getting that objective as well. I just felt there was very little recourse I had to that game. Like, I was not going to survive that amount of shooting, no matter how hard I tried.
Right.
And as soon as he came down, like, he came down within the 18 so he could shoot the hell out of me. And so I went straight at him. And I did kill all 4 ballistas. Well, I don't remember if I got them all. I know I got at least 2 of the 4. I think I got 3 of the 4. I might have got all 4. It's hard to remember, but I know there was one point where he killed the giant and I won the roll, and I'm like, all right, he falls, and he's like, all right, so he kills the one thing, right? And I was like, no, the bone grinders do D3 to everything within 3 inches of him when they fall. He's like, oh. Uh-oh. So, yeah, I got a couple people out on that over the weekend. Like, the bone grinder dies, but unlike the normal giant who's like pick a unit next to him, and that takes D3 wounds. I'm like, no, this dude falls down, and everything within 3 inches of him takes D3 wounds. Or every unit, not every model. God, that'd be great. But so, boo-boo, big loss. Your game five, this is where you had to bow out, so you didn't have a game five, huh?
You're correct. I had some obligations that, even though I got rescheduled, still weren't rescheduled late enough. So
not late enough. So my game five, me and Kenny Lowell from Combat Phase Podcast, we've known each other for a long time now, as many of us in our community have known each other for a long time. He was playing his Fire Slayers, naturally, so we decided what better way than to have Fire Slayers versus some Giants. Now, he specifically was aiming for all the Slayer monikers. So he'd fought our friend Brandon with his giant Chaos Dragon. So he had already done Dragon Slayer. He'd fought the Khorne Bloodthirst army. So he'd gotten Demon Slayer. He wanted to get Troll Slayer. He wanted to fight Tom McClure, but I don't think he got that. He got me, which was Giant Slayer. And then I think there was another one that he went after. But that's basically how he arranged his games for the weekend. My game against him, I took the Tyrant Butcher Thunder Tusk, 3x3 Ogres, and 2 Bone Grinders. He had Rune Father on Magma Droth, a Rune Smiter on Magma Droth, a Rune Smiter on foot, 3 Berserkers, 30 Hearthguard, 30 Volkites, and 20 Volkites. And we played on the Reaver Wastes table. Now, this one has this giant monolith, and it is insanely giant. Like, it's not big around. It's probably only like an 8-inch square piece of terrain, which is big, but it's not humongoid, but it's like 2 feet tall, so it's just this really big obnoxious piece of terrain. And every turn it moves 3d6 inches, and for every unit it moves over, it does the d3 holy wound thing, and whoever has the most holy wounds racked up by the end of the game wins, or wins the primary objective at least. I deployed poorly and turn one he rolled it over like 4 of my units and did, I think, like 11 or 12 wounds through it, which I was never going to get back. So I was just like, whatever, I don't care. I played this game to run and, you know, hit you in the face. And I did. I ran straight across the table. Combat started on turn one. And while I knew I was going to lose the game, I contented myself with just happily smashing Slayers, while Slayers contented themselves with happily throwing themselves at me. So the Bone Grinders were punting characters and Magma Droths, and the unit of Volkites were there, you know, smashing into me and everything. And then the Hearthguard, they went underground, came up. I might have that backwards, the Hearthguard versus the Volkites. I think the Volkites are the ones that tunnel. I don't remember. Anyway, a big unit of them went underground, came up over on my left flank, where I had like 3 ogres just kind of hiding, sitting on one of those Grail tokens, and he killed those off. So by the end, he had the max win. He had a unit of, I think, the 30 Volkites over that had gone underground, and then he had another unit that was like off in a corner on another one, whereas pretty much my entire army and then the rest of his stuff all came into the middle of the table and basically killed each other off. So it was a giant gore fest, which is exactly what we wanted, and we walked away quite happy. So that was my fun and excitement. Let's talk, since we didn't mention it, being a narrative game, the way that Holy Wars ran was names of players were drawn randomly out of a hat. There are 15 tables, so starting from the first draw, the guy can pick a table to play on. So he gets to choose his table. The second guy can then either pick an open table to play on, or he can choose to fight the first guy. And then the third player can continue that trend. So everybody, as long as you're not like the first or the last guy, you know, if you're closer to the middle of the pack, you really kind of get a choice against what you're going to play against. So it was really interesting to do the table draws. And the idea behind that is, A, it's a narrative event, but B, guys that want to come with lists that have teeth can then test their mettle against other lists that have teeth, whereas maybe the fluffier guys will choose to play the fluffier guys.
Yep.
Now, I can see that being abused. I don't know that it was abused. I felt awfully targeted when that Stormcast Ballista list came up against me. I don't think he did that on purpose to kill me. I think I was like one of the last two options on the game or on the draw. So it's whatever. But I know like he walked up and I was like, I think you picked me on purpose. And he's like, no, seriously, I didn't. I'm like, but it was a really interesting way to do the draws. And I actually really enjoyed it because, you know, there's 15 tables of the tournament. They are 15 very unique tables. So other than the one that I played with Kenny in game 5, my entire goal, other than playing my giant list, turned into trying to play on tables that I did not play on 3 years ago when we went to Holy Wars 2. So it's really neat that I've now played on like 9 of the 15 tables over the 2 times I've gone up there for this event. And tables are just super cool and fun and unique and very interesting. What did you think of the way they did the draw?
I think the draw was interesting. However, what I had come to find is that I think people were picking easy targets.
So you think it was being abused?
People were talking about stuff out in the hallway, and I could overhear them. And I sort of talked with another friend that I have, Sean, up in the Chicago area. And, you know, he really wanted to play Saturday, but I wasn't in the beginning of the draw. I was at the end, so I was going to get thrown with the wolves at the end, you know, whoever wanted to fight my tier 3 list, essentially. And, you know, even like Brandon, our friend who took the Forge World Dragon and the Kargaroth the Dragon, I mean, everybody was pointing at him. I want to play that guy, you know. But one guy had a Jason, who I played, had an item that would shut the dragon down for an entire turn. So in that instance, when you've got a specific item to neuter, one model that attacks you, and that's basically somebody's army, you know, is it that much fun to play against them when you know what you have and what they brought, and it's not, you know, going to be conducive for a good play atmosphere? I don't know. There's all kinds of ways to chop this up and look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, remember that I think for the most part, the three of us, you, me, and our friend Brandon, we all went into this knowing that we weren't going to win games. Like, I took a bunch of giants. You took a completely untested troll army. Brandon took a unit of corn dogs and a 1,200-point chaos dragon. Like, none of us really expected to do well. And we all knew we were going to end up playing at least one game each where we're just like, well, this was a total loss right off the stick. Right. But I think, regardless of if people tried to abuse or not, as far as Brandon's concerned, everybody that walked in there was like, I want to fight the dragon. Yep. and he was always one of the first ones picked because people wanted to fight the stupid dragon. And I think it only survived one of the 5 games.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you go into it and you're just like, well, this is what I expect. And he expected that and he got it. I remember him complaining about that orb that shut his dragon, and he's like, God, that was nonsense. He's like, it just turned everything off, and I just stood there stupid. But he did survive that round of combat, albeit on, like, 5 or 6 wounds left. So at that point, he was done. I mean, you know, combat effectiveness is gone. Still.
And we talked about his list. You know, with that dragon, you are either trying to eat corn dogs to improve whatever, if they heal from that, I forget, but there's also that, and then the corn blood tithe points. Every time you kill a unit, you can use 4 blood tithe points to heal like d6 wounds previously lost in the battle, or d3, something like that. So the whole point is to feed it units, keep it attacking so that it survives until the end,
right? Yeah. So I don't remember exactly what awards are what, because Holy Wars does a bunch of hobby awards as opposed to like a first, second, third. But there was a first place. The Holy Conqueror, Adam Trunzo, and his Skaven army running the new Skaven book is the only player to have won max win all 5 games.
Yeah.
And if you've been listening to any of the other podcasts out there on AOS, Flesh Eater Courts and the new Skaven Battalion book are apparently very, very strong.
It's called Gristle Horde, Joe. Everybody's taking 5 dragons now that count as core or battle line. It's my battle line army.
Yeah.
And it's all player friendly.
Well, apparently the Skaven are ridiculously cheap for what they do. And then the Flesh Eater Courts have dragons that apparently get attacked like 2 and 3 times a round. So I didn't get to play either of them. And it sounds like I don't want to play either of of them, and hopefully no one locally picks these damn armies up. I really wish I hadn't sold my Skaven now, because God, I had a really big army that I sold, I don't know, maybe 6 months in the first edition of AOS.
Yeah, I'd say that.
When I was still super bitter about the game.
You spent so much time on them bases and painting it. I mean, I know it was like three color with washes and just, you know, your highlights, but yeah, dude, you had a lot of time put into at least those bases. I know you hand painted every cobblestone on what, like 200 miniatures or more?
Probably. Oh, well. C'est la vie. I mean, what are you going to do about it? So that was Holy Wars. I went up. We had a really great time. Everybody was super cool. The tables are, of course, super unique. So he's doing Holy Havoc this fall, which is a team tournament on those tables. And we're talking about maybe going to that. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely had a really good time. I assume you also had a good time.
Yes, I did. I had a very good time. I think I probably should have play-tested my list a little bit. Taking a 400-point rogue idol that got neutered a year ago in Forge World's, you know, FAQ online and all that, probably not the best decision.
Yeah. Now, I will say one of the things I wanted to come away with is, you know, I played five different games, and I played five different iterations of my list. And just to see kind of which one I thought was the best. And I think that the best performing one I had that keeps me the happiest was probably the very first list I had, where I had one Bone Grinder, one Giant, six Iron Guts, 3x3 Ogres, Tyrant Butcher, Frost Lord. It leaves me with a command point to reroll one of my first charges, and the Giants are in there, so they're fun. But then the Iron Guts, which hit like a huge ton of bricks. I think those are the things I missed the most through my list changes, was when the Iron Guts started disappearing, because those guys hit so freaking hard that missing them really takes a pin out of my army that I need. So came away with that little piece of learning.
I think with the troll list and its capability, the big deal is going to be alpha striking and controlling the charges with your army. It's really hard, and this is probably goes with any army. If someone alpha strikes or gets a charge off on you, it's very hard to recover and come back from that. Case in point with the Witch Elves charging my Rogue Idol. You know, if I had something in front of that, like a chaff unit, and then I got the charge off, I would probably, you know, have the capacity to do 10 to 15 wounds and wipe out half the unit before it even attacks me. So that's what I think I need to take a look at and see what there are other options for.
Certainly. So that's it, guys. Thanks for joining us as we kind of went over our Holy Wars reports. And we appreciate you continuing to listen to the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And we thank you very much. We'll be back in 2 weeks to, I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about for the extra episode in March, but I'll figure something out. So thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Chuck, for joining us.
Thank you very much. And glad to be on.
We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
I put my-